About a century ago, a 17-year-old African-American teenager named Eugene Williams drowned in Lake Michigan while swimming with friends. A group of white men stoned Williams for crossing an unofficial barrier between the white and black beaches. The week-long race riot that followed left 38 people dead, more than 500 people injured, and 1,000 black families without shelter, their homes torched by rioters. Lifelong Chicago native Claire Hartfield takes another look at this event in her latest book, A Few Red Drops, The Chicago Race Riot of 1919. The book won her the 2019 Coretta Scott King Book Author Winner Award. Claire Hartfield joins us now. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
So you first heard about the Chicago Race Riot of 1919 from your grandmother when you were a child, and she actually got caught in the middle of it. Tell us about that.
She did. She actually was born down in the South in Mississippi and had lived in New Orleans for a while. And she came up to Chicago at a time when many blacks were beginning to come up north in what became known as the first wave of the Great Migration. So she got here. She got herself an apartment in the black community, which at that time was called the Black Belt and is now really the northern part of Bronzeville. She got an apartment with her cousin. They were two bachelor girls, as she used to call it. And she got herself a job in the industrial community, and she would ride the streetcar back and forth to work every day. She loved it. But one hot summer day in July of 1919, she boarded the streetcar to go back home. And as she got closer and closer to the black community and looked out her window, she saw masses of young men in the streets, both black men and white men, fighting with each other. They began throwing rocks at the streetcar. The streetcar driver was scared out of his mind, and so instead of stopping at all the regular stops, drove directly to the end of the line and made everybody get out there. And of course, there was no Uber back in those days, and so she literally had to walk through the riot to get back home. And so it was a story that was full of drama and stuck with me and tucked back in my subconscious for many years. Mm-hmm. And then fast forward to a few years ago when there's been so much turmoil in the streets, and I was watching images of things that were going on in Ferguson, Missouri, and Baltimore, Maryland, and it called up in my memory this story that my grandmother had told me. And I wanted to know what was going on in 1919 and how it is the same or different from what we're seeing today. So that was the beginning of my research.
What made you want to write this book specifically for a younger audience?
Yeah. Well, I'm really aware. I work in schools a lot. And so I have the privilege, actually, of talking with young people. And they are very aware of what's going on in our society right now. But they see it through a very narrow lens of their own lives. And they don't have the structures and the experience and the breadth of history to place what's going on into a context. And so it makes them feel like they're the only ones who have ever experienced this, and they're never going to get out of it. And they don't know how to get out of it. And so it can be paralyzing. And so I thought, wow, what if they knew this history and they saw that there was this young man, just like many of them, who happened to go out to the beach and something really awful happened, and what happened after that, and look through an arc from beginning to middle to end of an event and to see what went wrong, what was handled badly, how can we handle it better today, and begin to put together ideas for how to do it better this time.
You said when you thought back to the story your grandmother told you and what you were seeing playing out in the news today, you felt some resonance there. As you began to dig into your research, did that feeling of resonance deepen?
Oh, my gosh. It is really eerie and somewhat sobering. The issues that we face today are so reminiscent of what was going on in 1919. And I was thinking the other day that if you put news stories from back then against news stories that you're reading now, it's kind of like the Coke-Pepsi taste test. You might not get it right. It might have happened 100 years ago and look like it happened today. Of course, front and center right now is the issue of the distrust between the African-American community and the police and the criminal justice system in general. And that was alive and well back then as well. And I have stories in the book, specific stories, that will sound very familiar to readers. There was also the issue of housing segregation and how detrimental that was to the growth of Chicago and the backlash from the white neighborhoods surrounding the black community in 1919 was a big part of how the riots got started. And it was the immediate catalyst for what then became restrictive covenants. And when those were outlawed, there was redlining. And there was a study done, I think, that just came out a week or two ago, where testers went into communities around Chicago now and found that steering of African Americans away from white communities is alive and well. Mm-hmm. So there were those issues, there were job issues, and then there were issues of political polarization between the working class white community and the African American community that resonate with what we're facing today.
You start the book with a Carl Sandburg quote. It reads, "Sometimes I growl, shake myself, and spatter a few red drops for history to remember. Then I forget." Why did you include that quote?
Well, interestingly, Carl Sandburg was also alive and well at that time and living in Chicago. And he was a reporter and did a series of articles on the race riots. And so that's how I stumbled upon his connection. And once I did that, I started to look at his poetry. And the poem that part comes from was actually written a few years before the riot and was so prescient about what tensions were building in the city at that time and how they might explode in bloodshed. I use that because, again, there are such echoes of what was going back on then today. And we have a tendency to get very agitated about something in the moment and then we forget. And we shove it under the rug and it just sits there and simmers instead of working with it and fixing it. And so it's a call. This book is really a call to say, let's look at these issues and let's deal with them. Let's not just push them away once they're not front and center on the front page of the newspaper. And let's grapple with them and really set ourselves on a better path.
That's Claire Hartfield, a nationally recognized children's book author and lifelong Chicago native. We're talking about her book, A Few Red Drops, The Chicago Race Riot of 1919. This book earned Hartfield the 2019 Coretta Scott King Book Author Award. Coming up in about 10 minutes, we'll explore a Chicago public schools building designed by Chicago architect Bertrand Goldberg in our latest installment of What's That Building? Stay tuned for that. As I mentioned, you won the Coretta Scott King Award. What does this award mean to you?
Oh, my gosh. I am thrilled, of course. It's so exciting to be now among this pantheon of great writers. And I think, you know, as I've been sort of sifting through my feelings and getting over the numbness, the thing that's most important and most exciting to me is that by getting this award, it's going to shine a spotlight on this history. And so many people that I've come across who actually have already read the book say, I never knew that this happened right where I'm living. And so it's been eye-opening for them. And the other thing I would say about it is that that riot that summer was part of 25 riots that occurred across the country from East Coast to West Coast, South, North. And the summer was eventually dubbed the Red Summer because of all the blood. And so this is really something that is not just a Chicago-centric story. It's something that is about what was going on in our country as a whole and resonates with what's going on across our country today. And so this award gets the book more out into the national spotlight, and I'm hopeful that people will then begin to dig in and learn this really fascinating and relevant history and have conversations about it.
How did your understanding of what happened in 1919 shift or deepen as you did the research for this book?
Yeah. Well, I didn't really know that much about it. And so, for example, one of the things that I think we think about a lot now is that when we hear about unrest, that it's something that swells up from the African-American community. In fact, in 1919, that unrest swelled up from the working class white community. And so what I began to learn about is not just what was going on in terms of the African-American community, but what was going on, what were some of the challenges that were faced by these newly arrived immigrants. And so I didn't expect to learn this, but it gave me some insights into what this other issue that we're working through right now with immigration and what some of the concerns are and feelings are of people whose communities are going to be changed by immigration, and what are the concerns and feelings of those who are immigrating in. So that was something that I learned that I didn't expect to.
And in terms of the impact of those that riot on Chicago and the way it looks today, what did you learn about that?
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, what I learned is that some of the roots of the problems that we have now, that's where they came from. And that the one thing that came out of the end of the riots that was hopeful was that Chicago had a chance to do one of two things, as I see it. They could either look very narrowly at the riots and say, point fingers at the people who are literally fighting with one another, put them in jail, and say, this has nothing to do with the rest of us. But instead, they took a really broader view, and they appointed a 12-member commission of six black and six white people to study the riot. And they took their direction seriously, spent 2 years researching, talking to numerous people, leaders in the churches and unions and politicians and industrialists, as well as the man on the street and the woman on the street. And they compiled the 650-page report, which basically the conclusion is, this is on all of us. We are all accountable for these problems. And so it gave the opportunity for us to work as a city, united, to do something about it. When it came down to the reality of doing things, unfortunately, they did not go as far as they could. But I think that what I would take away from that today is that we also, again, have that opportunity to say, this is about all of us, and we are all responsible for our destiny, and we need to come together and work on a solution so that we can move beyond the problems that we had 100 years ago, beyond the problems we have now. And make the future different so that we don't repeat this history.
As I think it's alluded to in that Carl Sandburg quote, we unfortunately have a tendency to shy away from some of the uglier parts of our history. Why was it important for you to preserve this chapter of Chicago history, particularly for young people?
Yeah, I think that young people are more open sometimes than as we get older, we do tend to shy away. Young people have not often built up that barrier of really looking at issues and talking about them bluntly in some ways that are not politically correct. So it's at that point when they're young that they have the opportunity before they've built up the defenses to really grapple with the issues. And so I'm hopeful that young people from across the spectrum of experience will be able to look at this history and think about how it relates not only to their own small world and their own small school and neighborhood, but how it relates to the community around them so that as they grow into being the ones who take charge of policy for the future, that they've thought it through in this larger context and grappled with the very difficult issues.
And for you, you know, building context around this story that was, you know, important to your grandmother, a story she was in the middle of. What does that mean for you to provide this sort of historical context around something she was a part of?
Yeah. Well, I'm really big on, and I think this is, you know, part of a large part of the Black community, on intergenerational communication. I know that it has informed my life and made me understand the world in such a different and such a broader, such a richer way because I had these stories passed down to me generation to generation. And so I am hopeful also that the book will stimulate intergenerational conversation now. I have had other people who've read the book come up to me and say, oh my God, this reminds me of what my grandmother or my grandfather told me about how they came to Chicago. And I wonder, what were they doing? Where were they during this period?
That's Claire Hartfield, a nationally recognized children's book author and lifelong Chicago native. We've been talking about her book, A Few Red Drops, The Chicago Race Riot of 1919. Claire, thanks for speaking with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Up next, another installment of What's That Building with architecture sleuth Dennis Rodkin. Today we'll look at a Chicago Public Schools building in Uptown designed by the architect behind Marina City. I'm Jen White, and you're listening to The Morning Shift on WBEZ Chicago.